Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Wherever you are, we appreciate you, and we very much appreciate our next guest, Mr. Joe Beninati, making time for us. Joe B. joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. Joe B., how are you, sir?
Guys, I'm doing well. As long as we stay away from any moose knuckle clothing conversation, I'll be just fine.
Had you ever heard of that coat brand, Joe?
Negative, sir. Yeah. Negative. Move on, please.
and Joe travels to Canada far more frequently than the rest of us.
Fast forward button, please. Moving along. All right. Just want to let you know that I enjoy your show. I listen to it all the time.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. Let's talk hockey, shall we?
Yay!
Caps last two games, they had a really impressive explosion against Montreal. And then they come back home and drop one to Tampa. There's a lot of good stuff for us to discuss, but let's start with where Washington's at tonight hosting Columbus and how much do they need a win here?
The division's really close. I mean, you look top to bottom from Carolina to the Rangers, you're only talking about 8 points, right? So everybody in that division is competitive. And I think at the outset of the season, guys, we were talking about so much of the Eastern Conference especially has improved, and you're seeing it. And the way the schedule has played out, the East is taking advantage straight up against the West, and a lot of those teams, whether it be in the Atlantic or in the Metro, are profiting. So to see Washington in seventh in the division, I don't think many of us projected that, but just as quickly they win tonight, they could vault to as high as fourth. So it's going to be a fluid situation here for a while. I do expect the top teams to separate themselves before too long. I do expect Washington to be in that top team conversation in the Metro with the likes of Carolina and with the New Jersey Devils. You know, what the Islanders are doing under Patrick Waugh is terrific. They're more than competitive. Philadelphia's better. Pittsburgh's better. They're both those Pennsylvania teams are in a better place than I thought they would be. So it just makes for really good hockey for long stretches of time. But as far as tonight's concerned, whenever you have a division rival in your own building, you want to make sure you get that one. Washington has played Columbus, played them, I want to say it's about exactly a month ago. Fantastic third period to finish them off. Logan Thompson was by far a thief in the night in that game. I thought he stole that one, and he's going to go for the Caps again tonight, so I like their chances.
When you look at them, they got 11 wins, I think 9 losses, something like that. What they seem to be like on like a little roller coaster here. What are they doing good when they're winning, and what's going on in the losses?
It sounds so simplistic, B. Mitch, when I say this. in the games that they win, in the games that they produce, 7 goals against Edmonton, 8 goals against Montreal, this sounds so easy. The puck luck is there. The puck goes in the net. Their shooting percentage is way higher than it is when they lose. A season ago, they were the NHL's best team in terms of shooting percentage. And we don't use that stat very often in NHL play, but it was one in which they led the league. They were a high-scoring team. They were a dramatic come-from-behind, especially win-games, third-period team. You know, you never had a chance to say, oh, the Caps are out of this one. This season, the productivity scoring-wise hasn't nearly been as high. And we could point to a couple of different reasons why, probably most notably the power play falling off the way it has, and especially at home. But it sounds so easy. When they play well, the puck goes in. Oh, okay, that's the name of the game. Isn't it, dum-dum? Yeah, it is. Why are they having some nights where they don't finish well, and there are other nights where they can't miss? You know, they shot almost what? Was it, they almost shot 33% against Montreal. That's unheard of. So somewhere in between lies the truth. And depending upon when those special teams, both power play and PK, get better, and they will improve, when they get better, I think you'll start to see Washington rip off more and more wins. They've won 3 of their last 4. This is a homestand. I know it got off to a bumpy start with Tampa, but when you look at Columbus, Winnipeg, and Toronto, those are 3 important games before the team starts to hit the road again.
Joe, I saw, it seems like Carberry kind of started to vent, similarly to what you're saying. Carberry kind of talked about he's growing impatient with the power play. How do they get better specifically on the power play?
It's so interesting because I watch them every day at practice, and the movement of the puck is better in practice than it is during the games. And I don't know if they fall back onto old habits come game time, or, let's be honest, you know, when you're working against your PK scout team, your guys, there might be a lack of intensity there. I'm not going to blame the scout team guys, because once they get to the big league games, the other team's PKs have been, let's see, I'll use my words carefully here. They're very, very aggressive. It's almost an ambush mentality that if you don't win the faceoff, you don't get the puck. If you lose the faceoff, you're chasing right away. And with Washington, it's been known for a number of seasons now, maybe not the smoothest team, not the fastest team when it comes to getting the puck into the zone. They talk about zone entries on the power play. The faster you can get in, the faster you can get set up, the faster you can use the 5-on-4 to your advantage. That hasn't been a strength for Washington, but for me, to see that Alex Ovechkin has only 1 power play goal so far this fall, and it came right off of a faceoff, not from a traditional puck-moving type power play goal, I know that's going to change. That's bound to change. There's too much talent. And the coaches who are running the power play, specifically Kirk Muller, Spencer Carberry, those guys, they're going to figure it out. Those numbers are going to climb before too long. And when they do, you would hope that it would inject even more life into the 5-on-5 offense. 5-on-5 play, Washington's been one of the better teams all 6-7 weeks of the season so far.
Ovi gets a hat trick 2 games ago, I think it was. What is it about him that, you know, when you think, okay, slowing down, oh no, he's not.
Streak shooters, right? In any sport, streak yeah. Shooters, streak hitters at the plate, you know, guys who just rain threes down on you in basketball. Alex is a streak shooter in hockey, and there's nobody been any greater when it comes to turning on the red light in hockey's history. And I think, B. Mitch, what I've seen mostly in the last couple of weeks especially, Alex is moving better. At the beginning of the season, we had told you that there was an injury that had cropped up, whether it be late in his own personal training or during training camp. Once he got to camp here in D.C., he wasn't moving very well. I think he was uncomfortable, and as a result, he's been trying to catch like a moving train. Everybody's that much farther ahead of him. But now that we're in a month to a season and then some, I think his skating stride is better, and maybe the bumps and bruises aren't as painful right now. I'm amazed at what these guys do, and you guys know that this is an Olympic year, that the schedule for the NHL is compressed. It just seems like every day these guys are playing 3 games in 4 nights, 4 games in 6 nights. they're all playing with something bothering them, nagging them, and yet they still play to the levels that they do. It's truly remarkable. And then you magnify it when you talk about Alex, and you talk about somebody who's 40 years old, those bumps and bruises don't heal as fast as when you're 20, 21, 22.
Talking with the great Joe Beninati here on the Rood Guest Hotline. Rood is the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. You can follow Joe at JoeBPXP. I talk about this all the time. Are you guys not on the call tonight? I freaking hate when it's not when it's not you and Locker.
I appreciate your saying that. You have no troubles this week. We're all good.
Okay, great. So you can watch Columbus, Washington tonight, 7 o'clock, Monumental Sports Network. Wednesday night's game. First off, that Wednesday night Caps game before Thanksgiving is kind of, I seems like they do it every year. Seems like that's always an awesome crowd, kind of juiced up, you know, young folks back in town from college, and probably sell a lot of beer on that Wednesday night before Thanksgiving game is my guess. And there's going to be this really, really cool honoring of Ovi for 900 goals and 1500 games. How excited are you for that ceremony and just a guy that you can't say enough good about for Alex Ovechkin?
Yeah, I'm excited about the ceremony. I love working with Alexa Eichler and her team at Capital One Arena. So we've been working on this for a few days now from a script standpoint, from how the moving pieces are going to be all sorted out. We're going through a rehearsal for the ceremony today once I get to the rink around 4:45. And this one will be another really nice one, and it just to honor and celebrate the continuation of a great player. This is just a player who, you look at the history books and you go, my gosh, there's so much that's been achieved, and yet he'll sit there and tell you he's got more to do. And there's more to do not only for himself, but with the organization, and to honor him for the way he continues to excel. That's what that's all about on Wednesday. And we'll spend 10 minutes to honor him. You could spend 150,000 minutes to honor him,
right?
The way he has been. And I love when he gets on these roles and all of a sudden people are like, wow, we thought he was finished. And then all of a sudden now he's the fourth leading goal scorer in the NHL. It happens so suddenly with him. You should never take him for granted. And we don't. And we're going to honor him and honor the rest of what he has for us this season and beyond, hopefully, starting on Wednesday.
Joby, so I saw something that Caps PR tweeted out, and my evidence of this is purely anecdotal, but just as a kid who grew up here and knows, there were I knew my boy Eddie Evans played hockey. Like, there were a handful of kids when I was, you know, young, middle school, high school, that played hockey, but by and large, kids didn't play hockey. And then Ovechkin showed up, and I saw this from Caps PR, 186% increase in the total number of U.S. hockey registered youth players in the DMV, 186% increase from Ovi's rookie year to now.
Hell,
like,
yeah.
Is it just remarkable to realize what Alex has done for this whole region with hockey? Hey,
JP, I'm glad you brought it up, because it's going to be recognized in that Wednesday ceremony. We're going to spend a good 2 minutes of it recognizing local area hockey players, men and women, boys and girls, who have been brought into the game due to what we're calling the Ovechkin effect. And since Alex laced them up first with the Caps in 2005-06, the amount of people playing hockey in this area has grown remarkably. And you can throw out any of the stats that you want. It's just you go and you go to any local rink and you can't help but see so many different players, boys and girls, wearing that number 8, wearing a Capital sweater and doing so proudly. And it's generated and become more and more of a hockey town in the time that Alex has been here. It's not that it wasn't before Alex, but in the time that he's been here, it's obviously been magnified to have a player of his ability setting records as routinely as he does, a multiple MVP, scoring champion, goal-scoring champion the way he's been. He's made Washington a destination for other free agents to want to come here, and it trickles down to the youth hockey level, to the grassroots level. It is the Ovechkin effect, and there's no doubt when you look at the amount of players nowadays who are playing competitively in high school situations, in major junior situations, who are getting more and more college opportunities. This is men and women. This is boys and girls. The amount of girls playing hockey has tripled in the time that Alex has been here. But there's just that much more awareness of this great sport, and he's to be thanked for a lot of it.
Absolutely. Talking with our friend Joe Beninati. Yeah, dude, totally. You know, Joe B, you know that B yells at me when I wear my Ovi sweater, though. He doesn't like when I wear it.
Now, to a Super Bowl, yes, I do.
I wear it the last day of every Super Bowl radio
He wears it to Super Bowls. He wore it to Super Bowl in the middle of L.A. where Brian, they got Bloods and Crips.
And Brian was concerned by my bright red hockey jersey.
Take off that red, bro.
You got to trust them there, JP. Be careful.
Joby, the other thing I wanted to ask you about, and this is, again, a credit to Caps PR. This one's specific. Sergei Kocharov, the Caps PR boss who does a hell of a job. Sergei tweeted this out, and I kind of started reading it, and it's just really cool. As we focus so much on Ovechkin and his career accomplishments, so much of it, a huge part of his success is also Nicholas Backstrom's success. Yeah. And obviously, Backy, you know, I don't know if his contract expired or he retired from the Caps, whatever, but he's playing one last season back home in Sweden. Gävle, I think is the name of the city. I'm sure I'm butchering that.
I think it's pronounced Yavla.
Okay.
Yavla.
I nailed it. what do you think, just as somebody that knows Backy so well, what do you think that means for him to get to play one final year in his hometown?
An enormous sense of pride for Nick. Nick had a significant hip injury that required, you know, major medical attention, and very few athletes have ever returned from the surgeries like he had and raised themselves to the level that he could. He did get back, and he did play a month's worth of NHL action after those surgeries. And for him to be able to play at home, you know, these guys are so proud of their roots. And when it comes to, I can't close my eyes and think of number 8 without seeing number 19 close by. And nowadays, number 19 has been supplanted by number 17. What Dylan Strome does to help Alex Ovechkin do what he's doing nowadays is incredible. I think he's high. I think Dylan is amazingly underrated. He and Backstrom share a great vision of the ice, and both of those centers could take the game and slow the tempo to the way they would want it to maximize what they could do for their teammates, and especially a goal scorer like number 8. Backstrom will be forever linked with Ovechkin. They are tremendous buddies. And again, when you talk about some of the most emotional moments in the franchise's history, now 51 seasons, I can't think of any one emotional moment more greater than when Alex handed the cup off to Nick. And they both held it simultaneously and looked at each other and said, yes, we finally got there. Because for the longest of times, those two received so much of the blame for not getting it over the hump. And for them to win it, and for them to win it together, was magnificent. And the only thing greater would have been if Backstrom set him up for 894 and 895, and Backstrom set him up for 900. Instead, it's been Dylan Strome who has had that honor, and the team as a total. Has just done a great job of warming up and making sure that they're there for all these incredible moments and milestones. I don't think it's ever going to sink in with these guys until 10, 15 years after their playing careers, just what Alex Ovechkin achieved and how fortunate they were to be a part of it
totally.
And help it come to fruition. It's not just Alex. It's a total team effort.
Well, dude, that's how I feel just as a fan is – like, I'll take however long Alex wants to go, keep going, dude. Like, you've earned the right to kind of write your own ticket, and I know Wednesday night will be really special, but they got one they need to win tonight before we get to Wednesday. Joe B, thank you for the time. Have a great call.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight.
Pleasure, guys. Let's do it again soon.
Joining me right now, Herm Edwards. Most of you know Herm from ESPN. He does a phenomenal job as an NFL analyst. Most of you know that he coached Jaden Daniels at Arizona State. Most of you know that Herm was a two-time NFL head coach with the Jets and the Chiefs in the 2000s. And at least some of you know that he was one hell of a player with the Philadelphia Eagles in the 70s into the 80s, and was involved in one of the most famous plays in NFL history, the 1978 Miracle in the Meadowlands play. We may talk about that. We've talked about that play with Coach before. Maybe we'll come back to it at the end. But, you know, it's interesting. I was looking in preparation for talking with you this afternoon at the years in which you were coaching in New York and then in Kansas City. And one of the things that is really interesting about your very first head coaching job in New York with the Jets is it came in the 2001 season. That, of course, was opening day, September 9th, and then 2 days later, 9/11. And then when you guys came back with the rest of the league after a week off following 9/11, you faced Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the New England Patriots in that week two, which actually was week three that year because of 9/11. But that was the year that they ended up winning their first Super Bowl. So I want to ask you about what you thought of the Patriots here in a moment. But what are your recollections about being a first-time head coach and after your first game as a coach, 9/11 happens?
Well, I can remember the cancellation of the games, and then obviously our first game back, we played the New England Patriots in New England,
yeah,
in Foxborough, and I can remember visiting with Coach Belichick on the sideline in the pregame. We were just sitting there talking, you know, and there were a lot of flags, obviously, opening day at any ballpark, but especially in New England, you know, you can imagine their colors are red, white, and blue as well, so a lot of flags being flown, and we were both standing there and looking at each other, and then we both looked at each other and said almost the same thing. Said, you know, I said, I don't know how my guys are going to play. And he said, Herm, I'm the same way. I have no idea what's going to happen. I said, Coach, let's just enjoy it. We're back to playing football. Let's just enjoy today. And we had no idea how we were going to play and how those players were going to play.
Yeah.
None. Zero, right? And it was just, we just want to get back to playing football. And when they sang that national anthem, there was not a dry eye in the stadium. It was unbelievable. I'll never forget it. It was like, wow. You know, and you just, things like that, you put in your brain and you go, you know what? I mean, the red, white, and blue flag in America was never more powerful for me growing up. My father's a military man. You know, I saluted the flag every day growing up. I mean, I get it. I get all that. But that day was something special.
Yeah, it was emotional everywhere. I mean, I remember the Skins actually played the first Monday night game after 9/11. Marty Schottenheimer was coaching his one and only season here. And the season did not start off well. I'm trying to think. you probably coached against Marty a couple of times, right, when he was in San Diego, I'm guessing.
Yeah, but I'll take it further than that. I was on Marty's staff in Kansas City.
Oh, right, of course. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. So, yeah, but you're right. Yeah, I coached against him when he was with the Chargers and I was with the Jets, yes.
Yeah, you. In fact, you guys played, I think, a playoff game together that you guys won out there. But, you know, that particular season, and I want to come back to the Patriots in a moment, that particular season, Marty, in his first and only year under, you know, horrible ownership, as we all know, started off 0-5, and Herm, he went 8-3 over the final 11 with Tony Banks at quarterback. And anybody that knew anything about football was like, okay, finally, we're about, you know, as a Redskin fan, we're about to be back. And then Snyder said that he didn't want it to continue that way anymore. So, anyway, back to the Patriots. Did you have any sense early in that season, or when you played them later in the season? You played them later in the season and lost by a point at home. Your team was a 10-6 team, went to the postseason, played the Raiders before the Raiders would eventually play the Patriots in that famous snow game. But did you have a sense at any point that the Patriots were going to make this run that they eventually, you know, made?
No, and it's funny because that was Brady, correct?
Yeah, if I recall right. Yeah, well, it was not only Brady, but you know, it was the season of Brady and Bledsoe.
Yeah, and that's and I know this because when we had played earlier, we we knocked Bledsoe out
in the first game.
Yes, in New England.
Yeah,
and Bledsoe's running on the side, and we hit him, and he lands down by my feet. And I'm hollering for our trainer as well. They come over and get him, and then all of a sudden he leaves the game, and in comes number 12. And we beat him that day. It was a low-scoring affair. And from that day, Tom Brady became the starter.
he became the starter, and then Bledsoe, remember, got the opportunity briefly in the postseason in the championship game against the Steelers. But, yeah, then Brady ended up coming in and starting the Super Bowl, and the rest is history. So did you have any sense of Brady that early? Because you basically got to see him for his first real snaps.
Yeah, you know, you watch him, and we knew when he came out of Michigan, you know, we had scouted him, but we didn't need a quarterback. We had Chad Pennington at that point, you know, young quarterback, and, you know, you didn't know he was going to be Captain America.
Right.
You know, he was Tom Brady, but you didn't know eventually he was going to be Captain America and win, what, 6 Super Bowls or how many they won. And so it's just kind of ironic, you know. It's like you sit there and you go, okay, and here we go, and here he comes in the game, and it was a funky game. I think we won 10-6 or something like that.
10-3, yeah.
And then, 10-3, okay, and low scoring affair. And then all of a sudden, the next time they played us at home, I think they beat us, and he was the quarterback. And then all of a sudden, you just watched it grow. You watched his, you know, his excitement and everything that went along with it. But no one imagined. I don't even think anyone, the Patriots fans, didn't imagine what was about to happen.
You know, it's so interesting, right? Because we now are in this era of, like, quarterbacks, you know, that we counted completely out that have resurrected their careers. Yeah. You know, we're watching Daniel Jones this year. We've seen Baker Mayfield. We've seen Sam Darnold. And you coached and you played in an era where these guys were given plenty of time before they ever saw the field.
Right. No doubt. And then now, you know, you draft them, they got to play early. That's part of it because you're pressed to make them do that. And, you know, it's a different league now. I mean, it's the league that I played in and coached in, for the most part, it was starting to turn a little bit, but it was still a running league. It was a balanced league offensively. But now it's the passing league. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you got to be able to throw the football to score. I mean, and when you have a guy that can throw it, you know, you build your team that way. You know, you still want to run because you got to run to win, but you got to score points. You got to throw the football because of the way, you know, defenses play anymore. And, you know, you draft that way defensively. You got to get some guys that play on the perimeter, some edge, you know, some edge rushers, and you got to get some corners that can cover. And on offense, you got to get some receivers that can catch it, and you got to have a quarterback that can throw it, and here you go.
You know, I'm just sitting here and I'm going through some of those teams you had with the Jets, and someone who comes on this show with me all the time and is one of my favorite, you know, former Washington players. You had him as a very young player, and that's Santana Moss. What do you remember about Santana?
Yeah. Drafted him in the first round, you know, and came out of Miami, a lot of hype. And he was, you know, it was early in his career, was too big for him. It was too big for him. And he was a great returner, and, you know, he dropped a lot of balls early in his career. And then he found his way. You know, when he got to Washington, all of a sudden he became the guy that we thought he was going to become. It took him a couple of years, a lot of pressure on him, you know, being a first-round pick and being in New York is tough, man. It's just tough. It's just a tough way to be, you know. And to his credit, he found his way and went to Washington, and obviously he had some great days in Washington. There's no doubt about that.
All right, let's talk about the quarterback here now, Jaden Daniels, and the difficult year that not only he's had with injuries, but the team has had. I'll get to the key question that everybody's asking here in a moment. But, you know, you watch this league every Sunday. You coach Jaden at Arizona State, so you know the issues that this team's had this year with injuries just across the board. What have you made of, you know, year two of – he's only played 5.5 games, but as his former coach, what did you see when he was out there?
Oh, that obviously, you know, he is your franchise quarterback. And I think the more they're around him, especially the offensive coordinator, and who basically, Cliff Kingsbury is kind of unique. Cliff was on my roster with the Jets. When we had 1 year where we had like 5 quarterbacks, and he actually came on my roster. And then, you know, Cliff was in Arizona when I was at Arizona State.
Right.
He knows Jaden very well. He watched him play, you know, so he couldn't have gone to a better organization. And to fit the system around him with, obviously, Cliff being the coach. So I just think that he's in a good place, a great organization. I told him that when he got drafted. I said, man, you're in a place you got great history now. And just understand that. And this fan base will circle the wagons around you, man, if you – do what you got to do, and obviously they have done that. He's just got to get well again, you know. And he's not an injury guy. I know people say, "Oh, he's little." I know his time with me. He never missed anything. Never missed practice. Never missed a game. So, you know, in high school, he never missed practice. Never missed games. So, LSU didn't miss games. Didn't miss practice. So, you know, it's just unfortunate what happened to him. But he'll get well. He'll come back, and they got their quarterback.
So. He was cleared, you know, to practice, but no contact yet. And earlier today, Dan Quinn said that, you know, he's gonna be in practice, but unlikely to play on Sunday night against Denver. But I think most of us now believe he could be ready and cleared to play against the Vikings the following week. How would you handle moving forward? There are fans that, you know, are angst-ridden about him heading back out there in games that don't matter. So where are you on the he's got to play if he's healthy with 4 or 5 games left in the season versus trying to protect him?
Well, look, and I understand the fans hesitate. You know, they don't want him to get hurt again. You know, they went through that with Robert Griffin and all that. But I will tell you this, and I say this not as a coach. I don't say this as a coach about what I'm getting ready to say. When you're a football player, every game matters. They all matter. They do. And it doesn't matter how many you won, how many you lost. They matter. Because, you know, your football, when you're a football player, it's not a career. You know, you can't say, well, I'm going to play for 10 years. No, you play week to week because you can get injured and you can be done. It's over. So it's not a career. It's an opportunity. And most guys that understand that, it doesn't matter how many you've won or lost. You just want to play.
Yeah.
Jaden wants to play. I know that kid. He wants to play football. I tell people all the time, you know what football players do? They play football.
Yeah.
That's what they do. When you're a football player, you play football. And it doesn't matter how many you won or lost. You go play football, man. So, you know, I'm not one to believe that, saving this is what? He's a football player. That's what you do.
So would you, as a head coach, you know, let's say that he comes back and they're 3-9 with five games left. They've been mathematically eliminated or close to it. Would you play him in a way that was more protective? Would there be plays that you wouldn't call? How would you treat that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would play him in a sense of, he wants to play. I want him to play. He needs, you know, one thing he doesn't have right now, he doesn't have a lot of professional experience.
Right.
How do you get that? You got to play. I tell people all the time, the guy has no experience. Well, you know why? Because he don't play. If he plays, that's how you get experience. So let him go play. And look, James Smart, I mean, it's just one of those freak accidents. That's all. It just happened. It's not. And I think, you know, did you run him on runs a lot? Probably not. Right? But you give him some because you're looking at it going, hey, you know, okay. But at the end, I mean, you just let him play and you tell him, like I used to tell him, hey, man, know when the journey's over and protect yourself.
The group that he's had out there and even Marcus Mariota's had out there, I mean, this team's been, you know, decimated by injuries. They just haven't had a full allotment really since almost week one. But, you know, it's possible he could get back out there with his guys, with Terry McLaurin, with Noah Brown, with, you know, Debo feeling good and the offensive line's actually come around. But what if he doesn't? What if he's got, you know, these practice squad guys and guys they've pulled off the street, you know, over the last couple of, you know, of months to play NFL football? Does that change your thinking at all?
No. And I think you call the game according to that. Cliff will call the game that way. Like, he knows the guys he has, and, you know, he's going to try to design some things to get them open. And, you know, all Jaden can do is throw it to them. They got to catch it. If they don't catch it, that's on them, you know, and they know that. But I think, you know, when you sit in Jaden Daniels, and you walk in his shoes, I mean, he has to play. That's how he gains experience. And whether you have going to the playoffs or not, I mean, those are vital to him. He'll be much better for it next year. The plan, he will be. And you know what else will happen? I mean, his team already respects him, but they'll even have higher regard for him now, because a lot of guys will say, "Man, that dude didn't need to play. He's playing." And if you're a fan, I know you're nervous. You don't want him to get hurt. But when it's all said and done, and he plays and he gets through this last stretch of games, you're gonna go, "Man, we really respect this guy. This guy's, you know, he's our quarterback."
So have you stayed in touch with him this year? Have you talked to him at all?
Every once in a while we text, you know. And he's busy, and I leave him alone, you know. I mean, if something's up, he'll shoot me a text or something, but I kind of leave him alone. You know, earlier in the season, you know, the preseason, I was texting him in and out, you know, messing with him and laughing and, you know, and stuff like that. And when he played the Eagles, you know, I gave him a hard time. I said, I'd be nice to my former team now. You know?
Well, they haven't like played that. Him yet. They got two of them at the end of the year.
No.
Oh, yeah, in the championship game, you mean?
Yeah. You know, so I'm laughing, you know, and stuff like that with it.
Again, it's a very small sample size this year because he's only played 5.5 games.
Yeah.
But was there anything that you saw that, you know, you thought, okay, well, that's not exactly the way it looked last year?
Yeah, I mean, I think what they've done now, they've designed it to his strength, and he's probably had some input in it, to knowing what he wants to do and what he likes. And that's what you got to do. You got to build the offense around the quarterback. And, you know, you have so many different variables of what you can do with him, because, you know, the first thing you realize defensively, he gets your attention because his ability to make an announced play. And you're scared to death of that because of his ability to run. You know, and Jaden's one of those guys I tell people all the time. I said, look, he's a little bit of a long strider, but when he's running, it ain't for 5 yards.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it's 20 yards, and he's down the field, and you're going, man, what? Yeah, but he shocks you. You know, it's like, whoa, he just made a 20-yard run. Yeah, 20 yards ain't five. It's 20, and you go, oh, boy.
Yeah.
And so you're nervous, you know, and you got to design your defense in the sense that when he goes back to throw, it's like, okay, who's spying the guy? We got to have a guy on the rush that's spying him, or we got to have a linebacker sitting in that area, because if he leaves the pocket, we got to come tackle him. And then the problem is, first of all, the guy spying him, if he ain't fast enough, he can't catch him.
That is true, and we watched that all of last year. All right, real quickly on this crazy year. I mean, it was a crazy Sunday yesterday. I mean, New England, Denver, and Indy right now at the top of the AFC standings. The Bears lead the NFC North. Carolina is tied for the NFC South before their game tonight. Give me the teams that you really believe in, like true teams, teams that you truly believe can win it all.
Well, the best team right now on the NFC side is the Rams.
Yeah.
Not even close. They're the most complete team right now. Quarterback is just playing out of his mind. He is playing really good. I mean, he's unbelievable. He's going to probably be the MVP, but I said that 5 weeks ago. And they continue to win games. That's one of the teams. I think, and then everybody else, you look in the NFC side, if you look at the North and you're going, okay, are the Chicago Bears that good? Well, we're going to find out. They're 8-3, and every time we say, they win another game. So, look, the record indicates who they are. Now, they got a tough schedule. The closing the schedule out, they play Green Bay twice. I think they play Kansas City. So they play some playoff teams now. We'll find out who they are. Eagles, you know, stubbed their toe. Dallas beat them, but that didn't surprise me. The way they played and got away from the run, and hopefully that's a lesson learned. They're not the same team they were last year, the Eagles, by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
But they're still a playoff football team. Seattle, obviously, is a good football team. They can stay in games, and the fact that they're outstanding on defense. They're really, really good on defense. You know, Green Bay and Detroit. I mean, they got the quarterback. They got pedigree. You know, when they get in the playoffs, and all these teams are playoff in contention. We'll see. On the AFC side, no matter what people say, New England has 10 wins. They are what they are. Buffalo, shorthanded.
Yeah.
They got the quarterback, and that's what they got. And he's remarkable. The Ravens. Are the Ravens kind of all of a sudden, Lamar Jackson doesn't look like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, he doesn't, does he? Tell me what you've seen.
Nah, I don't know if he's completely well. It just doesn't look like the same guy right now. Now, he's been out, so maybe he's trying to protect himself. Maybe he's not 100%, but he doesn't look explosive right now to me when he plays. You know, Pittsburgh is okay, but, you know, you're not afraid of Pittsburgh. The Colts are like, you still don't trust them, right? It's just, I don't know about the Colts, right? He's just worried.
You're right.
Jacksonville, until Trevor Lawrence shows me he can win some more games like he did last week, I don't trust him. Now, the West, interesting in the West. Denver Broncos is a good football team. They got a really good defense, too. They don't give you points. They got a young quarterback that's one of the better play callers in the league, Sean Payton. The Chargers are interested. I'm not quite sure yet. And the Chiefs aren't dead yet. They're just not. And I think when they were sitting there at 5-5, everybody said, they're done. They ain't done yet now. Because they have great pedigree as far as playoff experience. I told everybody toward the beginning of the season, I said, you know what the Chiefs are? They're tired. They've played in so many extra games. They're just tired.
Yeah.
The season, they're a wore-out football team. And now they've kind of got their sea legs back. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can make a run.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you said it that way. You know, Mahomes is having a much better season this year than he did last year, and here they are, they're fighting for their playoff lives. But last year there were times where I said, you know, some of these close games, it feels like they're bored and they want some close games just to have some excitement. Tired may be the more accurate way of putting it. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, it'd be weird to not see the Kansas City Chiefs come January.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, you know what's great? And you look at the slate of it, there's about 9 or 10 teams on either side of the slate in the NFC or the AFC that are still in contention.
No doubt.
And if you're a fan of one of those teams, you're excited. The fact that, hey, if we can win 10 games or 9 games, we got a shot. And I tell everybody all the time, I said, look, 10 is the number. I said that 2 weeks ago. These teams that have 5 wins or more, it's a race to 10. It's a 7-game season. It's a race to 10. If you can get to 10, put 10 on the board, you're probably going to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, I actually talked about this already, that this is one of those years. I agree with you. I think the Rams right now, and I think Seattle's the second best team personally, but I trust Matt Stafford a hell of a lot more than Sam Darnold. But the games we've got coming up here over the last third of this season, I mean, just starting on Thursday with the Lions and the Packers and the Chiefs and the Cowboys, it's just going to be because there are so many teams that aren't that far apart from one another. They're just going to be so many big games. I feel like there's more. You know, there's one team you didn't mention, and I talked about them Friday after they won on Thursday night. Houston, to me, is a team that if they got in, their defense could carry them a long way. Yeah. Do you agree or not?
Correct. No, you're absolutely 100% correct. And they're a hard watch. they're not pleasing to the eye when you watch them. There's nothing like you watching and you go, oh, I don't want to watch this. And then they win. And you go, oh, boy, they won another game. You know, just, because you're right. They got another outstanding defense.
Wow. Yeah. Then they still have really the good. Colts twice. They still play the Colts twice.
D'Amico's done a really good job, and they pride themselves on it, you know. And they're going to be a hard out if they get in because you can't score a lot of points on them. Right. Yeah.
Thanks for doing this, as always. Hope you're well. Enjoy all of your stuff on ESPN, and enjoy the rest of the year. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you, my friend.
That was Herm Edwards. Always enjoy him. That was presented by Paramount Plus. Football Talk on Team 980, always presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every season, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Happy 85th birthday to one of the greatest winners of all time, and certainly this city's greatest coach of all time, Joe Jackson Gibbs, 85 years old.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chunkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, where you can also watch Washington Capitals games. Joining us right now is their head coach. He's presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing, you. Visit CFAOrtho.com. Good morning, coach.
Good morning, guys.
You guys are playing some good hockey this last week. What's been the change?
Not a lot. Like, we're doing a better job. I think pucks are going in for us now. So capitalizing and finishing, we get 7 and 8 in back-to-back games. Even the Tampa game, We give up those early goals, but we're able to score. I think we had three in that game, Columbus mm-hmm. five. So the scoring and the finishing on our opportunities, the volume of opportunities is relatively the same as it's been all year. We're just finishing at a higher rate. And I think special teams, too, has helped just a little bit. We win that battle the other night against Columbus. So finding ways to win games where it was sort of going the other way early in the year.
Hey, Coach Carbs, let's rewind a bit. Take us through the scene pregame in Montreal when Dylan Strome learns that his wife has gone into labor back here in Virginia. How did that all unfold, and what's it like for you trying to manage the upcoming game with the emotional state that you know Dylan and his teammates are going to be in at that point? Take us through that.
Yeah, so I knew obviously there was a due date that was approaching, and so I actually, it's funny, we have a lot of children or babies that will be delivered this season, so I keep them on my calendar just to keep in the back of your mind that, hey, this player may miss a game or mm-hmm. or need to go back home if you're on the road. And so I knew this was upcoming, and the due date was not actually until next week, so... But they sort of tipped me off, and Stromer said, you know, it looks like it's probably going to come a little bit early. So I knew kind of, you know, what was going on. But he, you know, said, I'm going to travel to Montreal. Doesn't look like she's going to deliver. And then that changed quickly too. So I had an idea going into the road trip and that, but didn't think anything of it. We play Edmonton at home. We get on the plane, we fly to Montreal, and then right before the game, I was notified by our head athletic trainer that that Dylan's wife Taylor was going into labor, mm-hmm. and so this was like right before warm up, and he was going to tell Dylan, and Stromer was going to FaceTime with her, and there was nothing we could do at that point to get him back. There was no flights that could get him out, and so it was play the game and get him home as quickly as possible and see if she had delivered by then. And then in the intermission found out that it was a very quick delivery and she delivered a baby girl, and Stromer was a father for the third time.
Very crazy. Cool. Hey, I think it was last week, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, we talked to you about Ryan Leonard and his propensity to take penalties and playing time. Since then, he's had a two-goal game. I know he had a game where he drew a couple more penalties. What have you seen from him on the ice?
Yeah, he's sort of, since we talked last, exactly kind of what you guys were pointing out, is a little bit more opportunities, moved up lines. He's playing a little bit more. He's worked his way onto playing some more power play minutes. And it's good because, like we talked about then, he's earning opportunity. He's growing his game. He continues to get a little bit better with the details inside of his game with and without the puck. And then you're also seeing, like you saw in that game where he finishes, he's still making 2, 3, 4, 5 really, really high-end elite offensive plays, which, you know, he has the capability of doing on a nightly basis. So it's been a good progression. Again, it's not going to, he's all of a sudden not going to be playing 20 minutes, and it's still going to be a process for him, but he's earned some more opportunity and doing well with that opportunity.
One thing I've noticed, I think the other night when you guys scored 5, 4 of the goals were defensemen. Then I saw your Capitals PR staff put out the number. Capitals defensemen have combined for a league-leading 19 goals this season. How important is that you're getting production from your from the backline guys?
Yeah, the back end, I mean, I feel like that last year and then this year has really taken a step, and we try to make that a staple inside of our identity, inside of our game, as our D being a big part. It's a strength of our team, and not only defensively but also offensively, of their ability to help us create offense. And so that's what you've seen. And it's been really, you know, especially over the last few games, as we found our stride offensively and finishing, and pucks are ending up in the back of the net, they've been right there at the forefront, sort of leading the way with some of our forwards, with Chicky and John and Marty and Rasmus Sandin and Matt Roy doing an excellent job of helping us create more offense and also finishing especially when we've needed it early in the season.
How about Chicky and Carly? You just touched on them, setting a franchise record for fastest back-to-back goals by defensemen in the win over Columbus, just 12 seconds apart.
Unbelievable, yeah. That at the end of the period as well, which was, and that game, like that game was tight. Felt like we were playing really well. 1-0 for, you know, first period, well into the second period, we get the second goal, and then bang, at the end of the period, like you just touched on, 12 seconds apart, 3 and 4, which basically ices the game at that point to get us into the second intermission with a 4-0 lead. But those two goals, the one on the power play from Chicky and then John's face-off goal were, you know, a big 12 seconds in the game to essentially seal the win.
Coach, I saw some of the quotes from Logan Thompson after the Columbus game, basically saying glad that you have faith in him after the poor start against the Lightning where you had to take him out of the game. You go right back to him a few days later against Columbus, plays a great game, stops 22 of 23 shots in a division win. How tough of a call is that for you to go right back to Logan, or, you know, in the back of your brain, are you like, do I tab Chucky here? Like, what's that back and forth like between goalies when one has a poor start?
You absolutely could have gone the other way. And we thought about that. We talked about it as a staff. We considered both options because there's two ways of looking at it. One is give him a breather and let Chucky play the next game and give him another night off and then let him get back. And the other school of thought, which we ultimately ended up going with, is it was just one sort of bad period where we didn't play very well in front of him. Pucks ended up going in the back of the net, get him right back in there because he has been playing so well this season. So you can kind of go two ways. There's not one right answer for every situation. We felt like at this point in the year with where we're at with LT, how he's played, we felt like getting him right back in there as quickly as we could was the best plan, and credit to him for him responding and playing excellent against Columbus and especially early. Like I said, that game was tight. So, you know, any of those big saves that he makes in the first or second period make that game 1-1, it sort of changes it. Now, you know, you're going, maybe it's 2-1 going into the third or what have you, but I thought he played well and did a nice job of rebounding from the Tampa game.
Coach, how would you characterize the way the season has gone so far? Because I'm trying to, in my brain, you know, I'm trying to characterize you guys, and I'm going, are these guys good? Or what the heck's going on? Because you guys, it's kind of streaky. Is this a normal sort of ebb and flow? But it's like, you get off on a hot start, then you lose like 3 out of 4. Then you win a few, and then you lose 3 out of 4. And then it's like, wow, this has been kind of a streaky season.
Big time. So you know what's funny? And I'm like, because we had that, we start really well. I think we started 6-2, and then we went through a real struggle stretch right after that and have kind of picked it up since then. But and the league is around the league, I'll just talk about the Eastern Conference. It is crazy tight, crazy. I've never seen it like this, like where you go 1 to 16. There's 16 teams in the Eastern Conference, 16 in the West.
Yeah,
the 16 teams in the East are separated by, like, it's insane. I've never seen it like this to start in my time, limited time in the league. But for us, as crazy as this sounds, I feel like from start game 1 to game 23, our game, even though the results haven't, like I just talked about, our game has been pretty solid throughout. Like, we've done a good job of controlling play, the things that we want to do at the end of the night that show that we outplayed our opponent. We've checked majority of those boxes for majority of the season. Now, you know, you got to do some things, whether it's special teams, whether it's finishing, all that stuff to gain points. And then, so I would characterize it as sort of an up and down. And then I looked at something last night, just crazy. I'm like, we are number one in goal differential in the Eastern Conference. We're tied with Carolina at plus 13.
That's crazy.
And I was like, it doesn't feel like that. You know what I mean? It does not feel like we're leading the Eastern Conference in goal differential. And then I looked at regulation wins, and we are leading. We're tied with Florida, number one, 11 regulation wins in the Eastern Conference. So it just is sort of, I was looking at that and going, gosh, it doesn't really feel like that, similar to what you just said. But we are doing a lot of good things, and it's on us to just continue to build our game and improve in those areas like special teams and some certain areas to gain more points and find ways to win more games.
Coach, real quick, you've got Winnipeg next. That's tonight. Then you've got Toronto on Friday, so that leaves Thanksgiving open. What's a Carberry Thanksgiving look like at home?
And let me follow up on that real quick. Is there room on the Carberry Thanksgiving table for mac and cheese? Our producer argues it's too commonplace and doesn't have a spot at the table. What is your take there?
Okay. Part one is, so we practice. We're going to have a light practice tomorrow on Thanksgiving, just because we play an earlier game, so we can't pregame skate on the Friday. So we'll just light skate tomorrow. But when I get home, the in-laws, all family, sister-in-law, they're all in town. So we'll do a nice Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow night with my family and my wife's family. And mac and cheese is a no-go for me at the Thanksgiving table.
I'm with you.
Wow, okay. All right. Okay.
It's a no-go.
Does Coach Carberry prepare one thing?
Yeah.
You know what? You know what? I love Brussels sprouts with cheese sauce.
Nice. Okay.
Anything with cheese is good. Yeah,
but do you prepare it, or do you just wait and your wife does it all?
I contribute.
Look at that.
Can you cut?
Yeah.
Can you cut a turkey?
Carve.
Carve or whatever it's called.
I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm a connoisseur and excellent at it, but I can. I'm great in cleanup duty. I'm contributing.
All right.
Okay. All right, contributor. Coach. That's all.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
He's a role player. Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving, and you know, keep it going. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys, too.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate it,
Coach Spencer Carberry, Caps head coach. He's presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFAOrtho.com. Coming up next, we'll talk some NFL. Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider, joins us here on The Junkies.
Final hour of power coming right at you here on this Monday edition of the Burgundy and Gold. Today, you're tapped in to the youngest in charge, Noah Willingham, alongside the super producer, Anthony Haney. We'll take you up to 7 o'clock. We'll take a spin around the NFC East and then revisit the best of Week 12 in the National Football League before we get out of here. Right now, though, I'm going to go back out to the guest hotline for the second time this show, where we find our pal Bonte Hill, contributor for 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area. He also does some work, for NBC Sports Bay Area. You can give him a follow on the X app. At Bonte Hill, that is BONTAHILL. Bonte, what's going on, brother, man? How are you?
What's up, brother? What's going on?
I'm restless over here trying to figure out what it is or what it ain't when it comes to BA out there, man. B, as they call him in the locker room. Take us back to this past Friday when Mike Silver and Diana Russini come out with the report that marriage between Ayuk and the 49ers, it may be heading towards a divorce. Where do things currently stand with the two sides, Monte?
Yeah, this is one of the most bizarre ones I think I've ever covered. I mean, whether it's the Warriors, Niners, Giants, I mean, in all the sports, this is just strange. Look, Kyle Shanahan on Saturday mentioned that, hey, we would love for BA to come back this season to help the team out here in 2025. I find that hard to believe that BA is going to ever play a snap with the 49ers ever again with the voided contracts. And it's just strange because, you know, all throughout training camp, he was there. He was in receiver drills. He was talking to coaches. He was engaged. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe sometime by week 9, week 10, because I know some people thought week 6. But I was like, all right, let's give it about a year from when he had the surgery, which was around November 15th of 2024. Mm-hmm. And maybe he comes back and can help out the team over the last 6 games. But about 5 weeks ago, I was talking to a source, and they just said, hey, Bonte, you know what? With Brandon Ayuk, because I was under the belief that whatever Brandon Ayuk produced on the football field would be a bonus because he's coming off a torn ACL, MCL, right, and a torn meniscus. But the source said, hey, Bonte, man, you got to think about it like this. BA's out of sight, out of mind. It's like he's not even part of the team. And I was like, huh, that's strange. That's a little weird. And then a couple days before the news leaked, I'm having coffee and they're saying, and talking to another source saying, yeah, I don't know if BA can ever play for the Niners again. And then that's when the rumbling started kind of leaking out here in the Bay Area about him missing meetings, not being at practice, what's going on here. So that's the final domino. BA has to speak about what's going on with BA, because I think Shanahan, although he acted dumbfounded by the whole situation, I do believe he knows what's going on.
Yes.
Lynch, of course, needs to speak out. But it's just a bizarre, bizarre situation. And I have a hard time believing, despite the rhetoric from Kyle Shanahan and some of his teammates, I have a hard time believing number 11 Brandon Ayuk is going to ever suit up for the 49ers ever again.
Bonte spitting gas here on the Burgundy and Gold today. We're joined right now by our pal Bonte Hill, who covers the 49ers for 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area and then does some work for NBC Sports Bay Area as well. Follow him at Bonte Hill on the X app. So this is interesting to me, man, because I look at these situations, Bonte, and I go, they're athletes, right? But they people first. I'm under the impression that that relationship been soured, and he took the money on, so to speak, because it was there on the table. I remember getting a notification, bro, that the trade to Pittsburgh was done. He never wanted to be there long term, and I'm wondering, like, for an inquiring team like Washington who may be interested in his services once he's released, I got to check the character, bro, because he look like a crybaby right now. Don't take the bread if you're not going to live up to the contract, man. I don't care if you're disgruntled or not, man. You don't want to put pen to paper. Nobody made you sign there.
Right. Right. No, it's a good point. And I was one of the few out here that when it comes to the NFL, I'm usually pro player.
Right.
Go get your money when it's time to get your money, because you never know in this league. They could cut you at any point. Your guarantees run out. Your base salary's gone. Like, the NFL's a cold world, right? But I was under a pressure, like, hey, man, get your money. But it's the way both sides handled it. First and foremost, I blame the Niners initially, the organization, because BA wanted to get paid shortly after the Super Bowl. Hey, let's work on this long-term deal. Let's make it happen. And he was coming off a spectacular season. You see his yards per catch, which is second in the league in yards per catch. He had over 1,300 yards receiving in a run-first offense, 75 catches. He was Brock Purdy's go-to guy. You look at Brock Purdy's numbers since he's become the quarterback of the 49ers. Brandon Ayuk and Brock Purdy had a great rapport. And then you get to the Super Bowl, of course, where you only get 6 targets as opposed to Deebo Samuel getting 13. But once that wide receiver market blew up last season, and Amon-Ra St. Brown started getting paid, and we saw, you know, all these trades happening, and the receiver market just exploded.
Yeah.
And BA was like, hey, look, the market has been reset.
Yeah.
Yesterday's price isn't today's price.
Exactly.
And so for the 49ers, they needed to make a decision around the draft. Do we mess around to trade Deebo and Ayuk, especially after they drafted Ricky Pierce all in the first round? Mm-hmm. It sent mixed messages to everybody. Wait a minute. You don't want to pay BA. You flirted with the idea of trading Deebo, and now you draft a wide receiver out of Florida with your first-round pick. What the heck is going on around here?
Yeah.
And so once it got to camp and you got Trent Williams holding out and BA's holding out, he's holding in. Because let's face it, Juwan Jennings basically did the same thing this season.
Right.
He held in, except he wasn't on the field. He was kind of behind the scenes holding out for new money. The calf strain, whatever. I saw him walking around. There wasn't no lint there. We knew what it was about.
Right.
We're not dumb. So yeah, BA's had some maturity issues. You know, you had the shorts last year where he was wearing the wrong color shorts. And Shanahan, I know everybody saw that video out there in D.C. where it's like, oh, wow, hey, look at the situation there. So, but it felt like he came back with a new attitude. Everybody spoke glowing. Again, I'm at practice all throughout training camp, and he's engaged. He's in the drills.
Right.
He's traveling with them to Las Vegas to a preseason game, and then out of sight, out of mind. So I think BA is going to have to answer a lot of questions on what's going on with BA. Unfortunately, the team's not going to say much about it. The players, his teammates are not going to – like Trent Williams, they asked Trent Williams about it. He goes, no comment, man. That's my brother.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk about this. So it's going to come down to what Brandon Ayuk has to say. And, again, we need to hear from John Lynch, the GM of the football team, and the rest, because it's kind of unfair to put Shanahan in that position, especially when the contract is voided. Actually, I'm trying to wrap my head around
that. That has nothing to do with Kyle.
The contract was voided in July?
Wait.
I'm sorry,
Bonte. I didn't even know that. They've been voided the deal?
Well, Michael Silver and Diana Russini of The Athletic reported that this deal was voided back in July. Shanahan mentioned that, during training camp, we hope that he returned to practice. But, you know, during training camp in late July, we had voided the deal. And so there's a couple – that's why this is such a bizarre situation.
Wow.
Wait a minute. He was out there at practice with the voided contract? all happy-go-lucky, and it's now just being leaked? I'm telling you, man, this is the most bizarre situation
I've covered with
the 49ers. They've had some bizarre situations.
So I know, and correct me on the pronunciation of the name, Bonte, Prague Marath.
Yep.
I know he's not.
Yeah,
known
Prague Marath. Yep.
I know he's not known for having the best bedside manner when it comes to these negotiations, and that's why a lot of them with the Niners have kind of gotten hostile. What is his role in all of this? And I'll get back to the voided contract back in July in a second, but talk a little bit about him and just the mentality that they have there in the Bay Area when it comes to getting these extensions done.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Prague Marath, I joked on the one time. I walked by him, what was it, maybe 2 or 3 years ago when I was working in radio full time, and I've shifted over to television now. Still do some things with the radio station, but I joke with Prague. I say, hey, man, I may need you to work on my contract. And he goes, well, you don't want that. There's going to be a lot of opt-out clauses. So, listen. Yeah. He has the best interest in a football team, and I know York and Prague have kind of taken over Leeds United out there in Europe when it comes to soccer. So Prague Marath is always going to look in the best interest of his team. He's the cap consultant. He's the guy who's going to look at all the little Nixon cronies. And look, here's the other thing. Brock Purdy, when he got his deal, the 49ers can get out of the Brock Purdy deal after the 2026 season without many penalties. So Prague Marath, if you're – an owner.
Yeah.
If you're, you know, if you want to pinch pennies, Brad's your guy.
Yeah.
Because he's going to find the wiggle room in the contract and the language and find all these team up. Same thing was happening with Jimmy Garoppolo. Every April, the 49ers had an option to say, you know what? We can get out of this deal and move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah. So listen, if you're trying to negotiate money, Prague Marath is a stickler. He's tough to negotiate with. But if you're an organization and you love the penny pinch at times, or you want to protect yourself from, you know, having a lot of debt cap in the future or being stuck with bloated contracts, Prague Marath is a genius when it comes to that stuff. So he hasn't come out and said anything. I'm not sure exactly what his role is, but to have this contract void, it means that BA must have done a lot of mess, right? He must have missed meetings. Yeah. He must have missed rehab assignments. He may have not had a lot of communication with the coaching staff since the season has started. Because it's not easy to get your contract voided. As Shanahan mentioned, it's been his first time he's seen a contract voided in 20 years since he's been in the NFL. So BA has to take some responsibility here. But we're all trying to figure out what Parag's role is, because obviously by voiding a contract, that money comes off the books and it helps out the 49ers long term.
Man, oh man. I'm at a loss for words, brother. You know that ain't good for our profession. But I'm just thinking about it.
Listen, when this broke, I'm getting ready for a Warriors game. Mm-hmm. And then all day yesterday, I kept thinking, what the heck happened?
Yeah.
This is bizarre. Like, the fact that here's the biggest thing that I can't wrap my head around, and I mentioned it before. The fact that the contract was voided in July, and nobody knew this in terms of the media or the fan base. And all of a sudden, it leaks out that the contract was voided back in July.
That means Brandon probably finally spoke up.
Somebody leaked something. Somebody got ticked off. Maybe it's his camp. Maybe it's the agent. But the fact that it got leaked out in November, and he's been working, and he was working all through July and August, it's a strange one. And I think we're not going to have the answers until the other side speaks, which is Brendan Ayuk's camp and his side of things. What does he say about this situation? And knowing BA, at some point this offseason or later in the season, he's going to speak his mind on this situation.
Man, I don't know if you saw the video of him at Johnny Dang, Bonte, on FaceTime with Jaden Daniels. And one thing that I noticed he said in the video, he was talking to Jay, he was like, see, I got that burgundy on. So he's been doing this like weird song and dance of like, he wants the money. I get your perspective, too. Like, we want these dudes to get paid. Nothing's guaranteed in this league. The fact that they're on Monday Night Football tonight, too, Bonte, is amazing. Yeah.
This is a huge game.
Yes.
Carolina right now is in first place in the South. The Niners, despite having all these injuries and missing guys and are missing most of their defensive line and they can't get after the quarterback, this is a monster game for the Niners tonight on Monday Night Football, ahead of a date with Shador and the Cleveland Browns.
You know what I'm saying?
It's just overshadowed everything.
It's been crazy, man. I just do you think? I guess you think he's played his last game there.
I just don't see how with everything that's just come out.
Yeah,
everything that's just come out. I just don't understand how he would come back and risk having a setback with his knee. Again, he tore his ACL, MCL, and meniscus. For BA, knowing that the contract is voided, knowing that although the team sounds like they'd welcome him back with open arms, I just have a hard time seeing him go out there and play, because he runs out that tunnel. What's the reaction going to be from the fan base? He drops a pass. What's the reaction going to be? Does he want to deal with that? Yeah. What happens if he goes out there and has 150 yards receiving? You know what I'm saying? Right. He scores two touchdowns. Now all of a sudden it's like, wait, we're going to let this guy walk after the season? It just feels like a cloudy situation that, you know what, it's probably best for both parties just to move on.
Man, Bonte Hill, 95.7, the game in the Bay Area, as well as NBC Sports Bay Area, giving us the latest on Brandon Ayuk. I'm like you, though, Bonte. Like, I need to know what he did to get the contract voided, because I'm over here on X, Bonte, talking about something. Oh, yeah, bring him in. I need him. It's Jaden Daniels' best friend. I knew something was off with him last year when he decided to leak the practice footage out of Washington's training camp. I said, you dumbass. Like, what? Come on, brother.
Yeah. He's look, I've heard from multiple people. And here's another thing I heard about Friday, not only about the immaturity at times from Brandon Ayuk, but now there's concern about his mental health, which I don't see a lot of people speaking about. But there could be something going on deeper with BA. Because, listen, you went to JUCO, right? You went to junior college route. You go to the Arizona State, first-round pick of the Niners. You've done what you got to do to get to this point and become a premier wide receiver, although he doesn't get talked about or discussed with the likes of, you know, the big boys in this league, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chases or whatnot. But he's been highly productive with the 49ers, and he's gotten better every single season. The tour he went on last year with Jaden Daniels, the play with Jaden Daniels or whatnot, almost every Niner fan was like, Steve, told you, you're giving them ammunition. I said, you should have just took the Steelers deal. You should have just took the Commanders deal or whatnot. And right now it's looking like that with the way things have played out. They've lost Deebo and Ayuk, who are one of the sickest duos in this league a couple years ago. Yeah. I mean, 2023, you can never get back. Right. The 1,342 yards and 18 yards a catch, the 100-yard games, he had seven of them. Yeah. Listen to this. He had 700-yard games in 2023. And that was second only to Jerry Rice in this rich history that the 49ers have had at the wide receiver position.
On a run-first team, too.
Yeah. So absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, I mean, look, whatever team brings him in, you're going to have to be concerned about the character. There's going to be a lot of questions about what happened out here in San Francisco. And only Brandon Ayuk can answer that. Only his agent can answer that. And a lot of people are going to be eager to hear from Brandon Ayuk on what the heck happened this season with Brandon Ayuk again, because if the contract was voided in July and we had no idea, we're watching Brandon Ayuk run routes and, you know, I think the 49ers got fined maybe for him being on the field too much running those routes, although he's on the pup list, right? So he's out there running routes and he's coaching and he's in the team meetings, and Leonard Hankerson, a wide receiver coach of the 49ers, I think a former commander
if I'm not mistaken. Hank time.
So, you know, out of the U, of course, and he spoke highly of Brandon Ayuk, helping him out in the team meetings, and then poof, vamanos, he's gone. Like, what's going on here? What do you mean he's gone? What do you mean he's not around a facility? What do you mean he's rehabbing before everybody gets there?
Bonte, not to cut you off, brother. How long has he been away from the team?
I'm hearing he's been away from the team basically since the end of September.
Wow. And to think we've had several presses of Kyle kind of tap dancing at the podium saying, I'll be back soon, not yet ready.
Yeah.
Wow. So with that, right, and knowing what you know, and you've been doing this for a long time, I'm a hell of a fan of your work, brother. It probably feels like it was BA's side that leaked this out, because they've been keeping it pee, I guess, right, at the podium.
Yeah, I mean, the Niners definitely don't want this circulating around the facility and around the region. We know how these teams are. They say they don't really care about the press or anything like that, but they want good PR. They want to know that, hey, they're running the top flight organization, and you know, they don't want me, especially during the season.
Right.
You just got Brock Purdy back. Kittle's healthy. You know, you won a big game last week in Arizona. All right, let's go. There's been a lot of injuries defensively, but you're 7-4. You have an opportunity to win your eighth game this season, despite the litany of injuries. Sure, I don't think they would. Like, the fact that, if this was voided in July, that tells you right then and there that the 49ers didn't want this out there. But maybe it was BA's, because there's a method to their madness here. So, listen, we're still searching for answers. Nobody really knows. So right now it just looks like, BA's being a quitter. He's being a poor sport. And the fact that he didn't fight for that $26 million guaranteed dollars and told the National Football League Players Association, saying, yeah, it's okay, let's not even fight that. It's okay if it gets voided. He wants his freedom for this from this situation. Mm-hmm. Something deeper is happening, whether it's mentally with Brandon Ayuk or something with the football team and the dialogue with this organization. But, I mean, the truth is going to be out there. I'm going to be listening to Buck and Aikman as much as I can because, you know, they'll drop some nuggets here and there. And I think more intel will come about the situation as we move forward here. But it is beyond strange, and I still can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah, Monday Night Football going to be appointment television. I know Adam Schefter's probably going to have a hit at some point talking about this situation. Bonte, keep your ear to the streets, brother, man. We appreciate you making some time for us, man.
Anytime, man. Good to talk to you, man.
Yes, indeed.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate you. One of the absolute best, talking all things Niners, our guy Bonte Hill from 95.7 The Game in the Bay Area, also a contributor for NBC Sports Bay Area, man. Wow. Man, because we might as well just double it up here. We go to 27. Brother, we can man, this is gnarly though, Slim.
Nah, it's.
I want to talk more about this on the other side of the break. If you're in the car driving around and you just heard that tremendous interview with Bonte Hill, download the Odyssey app, go to the top of the 6 o'clock hour to figure out the skinny on Brandon Ayuk. 301-230-0980. We're going to react to some of what Bonte Hill had to say coming up on the other side of the break. But first, let's get the latest on the world of women's sports presented by Allstate.
But joining us right now, off a win, the head coach of the Wizards, Brian Keefe. Good morning, coach.
Congratulations.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Does it feel different this morning coming off a win?
I'm really happy for the guys that played terrific last night. Obviously, the first quarter came out and, you know, in the 40s, I think we had 45.
Yeah.
So two games in a row in the 40s to start the game. But, yeah, really, really happy for the guys. Guys have been resilient, battling, and practicing really well the last couple of weeks. And nice to get a win.
Was it one of those where it reached a point where, like, you guys are like, all right, screw this. We love the young guys. We're developing here, but we're going to play some of the old heads today, and we're going to get a freaking dub.
Well, we had some, you know, guys out. Keyshawn was out
right.
for a little bit.
Right.
Trey was out, so some of our young guys just weren't available.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Alex Starr played 37 minutes.
Right.
You know, Bilal played in the mid-30s, and Bub played a lot of minutes. So our young guys were still out there. But, yeah, obviously Chris and CJ, Corey had big games for us last night.
Yeah, CJ with the eruption, 46 points, 10 of 13 from three-point land. And I heard some of his quotes after the game where he's basically saying, I'm paraphrasing, that, you know, a lot of this is done in the dark, the preparation and, you know, time away from my family, working on my craft, trying to get better. And, like, that's a great role model for a lot of those younger players on your roster. You know, the roster's got a lot of 20 and 21-year-olds. It's nice for them to have him as a role model around.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that's been great getting to know him is, like, you know, there's not an accident when a guy is this good of a player. The way he trains, the way he works, how meticulous he is. You could say the same thing about Chris. Corey Kispert's the same way. And we have all of our younger guys are guys who love the gym, who love working on their craft. So they're seeing great examples. Those guys are invaluable to our program.
What was the idea with Will? I don't know. Do you make the decision like, hey, we should probably send him down to the G League, or is that what Will does? Like, because Will Riley was down and he was back up, but he hasn't played a lot since he's been back up. I'm just kind of wondering what's the thought process with that?
Yeah, so, yeah, obviously all of us communicate. Will and I talk every day about these things, you know, where guys are, how mm-hmm. can we help them develop. You know, he's been terrific in practice, and he had been getting some spot minutes here for our team with the Wizards. But we wanted to get him some reps, some real game reps. And he did great when he was down there. You can see where he's going to go, his processing skills, his passing skills, his scoring ability from different levels on the floor. This part of, you know, a lot of our first-round picks have played for us. And now we have a bunch of them on the roster, so we're a little bit logjammed sometimes for playing time. So we just wanted to get him some real game reps, and I think he took great advantage for it.
But why not just keep him there then?
Well, stuff happens, like things change. You know,
yeah.
One of the parts for him is, like, he's been able to practice with us.
Gotcha.
Really working on his body too. But you know, guys have been out, so we have some guys out, so things in the rotates had changed. So it's just you're always looking at, hey, where can he maybe get some time to get some experience and then be around our group too. So it's a little bit of a mixture of both.
Right. So, Coach, the win was part of the cup, right? The little in-season tournament.
I think that's the first one we got.
Do you guys even talk about that?
For sure, yeah. You know, the cup is I think it's been a great thing for the league. I think this is the third year now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we for sure talk about it. The guys are into it. The players in the league are into it.
Huh.
So that was our first win actually. To get one in the cup, I think since I've been here. Obviously, that's the first one probably ever for the Wizards. But yeah, it was a big win last night. We were really thrilled.
Do the guys? I mean, I have no idea. Did they get like extra dough for that? Like
they get a little boost. Yeah,
you get a little boost.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Makes sense.
Yeah, it's pretty significant if you win the whole thing. Yeah.
Right. 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 Okay. Makes sense.
I think it's like if you win $53,000. I think I saw that. Right. For NBA players, that doesn't seem like a lot, but it's $53,000.
That's a lot of money.
Sure, and they got a lot of young guys. I'm sure they'd love that.
For the championship, 53? I think it's a little higher.
Okay. But I thought I saw that somewhere.
I don't know the exact number, but I think it's a lot higher.
All right.
Oh, yeah, it's substantial. He would know.
All right. I don't have the schedule in front of me. What's the schedule the next couple of days? What are your Thanksgiving plans, Coach?
We travel tomorrow on Thanksgiving to head out to play the Pacers. On one road game, and then we're back home here for, I think we played Boston, then we're out to play Philly, I believe. You know, I'm one day at a time more than you guys probably even realize.
Right.
You're just focused on the task at hand, but we head out. Yeah, no, we play, I'm sorry, we come back and we play Milwaukee, then the Sixers, then Boston next week. But, yeah, we head out on the road, we go play Indiana.
So did you anything at home, like a little dinner like tonight? Are you going to do it maybe later in the weekend? How's that going to work?
Guys, you know, it's nice. Guys get to spend the day with their family, and then we'll leave a little bit later in the day.
Okay.
We won't do anything as a team. Last year we were on the road, and we got to do, you know, I think we did something in the hotel as a group. So you're always, you know, this is just part of the business. You're just trying to fit in the best you can in the schedule, but you know, nice that people get to be home and with their families for a little bit today and tomorrow.
Just wanted your opinion on a couple of league things. The Oklahoma City Thunder, defending champions, are off to a 17-1 start. They've done it with some guys, you know, out of the lineup, whether it's been Williams out of the lineup, Holmgren out of the lineup. Do you see any weaknesses on this team? Because at 17-1, you know, they're going to challenge for best record in the regular season all time, and they're coming off a championship.
I think a lot of times when you come off a championship like they did next year, a lot of times teams come back and have a confidence about themselves. Well, obviously, we played them early in the year. I actually thought we played very well until they put a stretch on us near late third quarter of that game. But, yeah, they're a good team. You know, I haven't like overly watched them too much because they're in the West Conference before. Yeah, I haven't watched them since we played them, but obviously they're doing some terrific things this year for sure.
And what makes this Detroit team so good? They're off to a 15-2 start. You know, we've kind of pointed to Detroit as maybe a model for Washington. They get Cade Cunningham a few years ago, and slowly but surely they move their way up. Where now they're the one seed in the Eastern Conference.
I think they just said, you know, have built it the right way, took their time, had patience was probably how they built their roster. And, you know, a lot of those guys in that team from a few years ago are still there. And they probably added some veterans and stuff. They got to give their coaching staff and their organization great credit. They're a really good defensive team. Learned how to play with each other, you know, sharing the ball, that type of stuff. But, you know, they have had a nice start to the season. You know, another game we played very well out there. Right down to the last couple seconds, but you know they've had an impressive start to the season.
Coach Keefe, you were correct. Players on the team that won the NBA Cup last season earned $514,971 apiece.
I knew it was a little bit more than $53,000. Yeah,
yeah, that's what the guys got for the team to get from getting knocked out in the first round.
Is what?
Yeah, okay.
$53,000 or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, if you win it, you get half a milli.
Gotcha.
Pretty good.
pretty good.
Yeah. Coach got to get a little benefit.
I'm sure the coach
too.
Gets a taste too. I don't know. Taste.
So they get $53,000 just for participating.
Basically, yeah, you get losing in the knockout round, you get like $50,000.
Right. Okay.
Pretty nice.
Still not bad. Pretty good, right?
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
All right, bad. Coach. Well, look, enjoy your Thanksgiving, and let's get some more dubs on the board.
Thanks, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys. Hope you have a nice day with your family.
Yeah, all thanks, right. Man. Thank you,
appreciate
pal.
It. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Coach.
It's Coach Brian right. Keefe from your Washington Wizards. They got their second win of the season last night as CJ McCollum went for 46
hey, Mar,
points.
I know that – can you put your cans on or can you get – I don't know where Valdez is. He pooping or something. So I'm going to the Caps tonight, right? The Vault Suites or whatever.
Yeah.
Ben, Mar, Valdez. I need the Wiz. I need the Wiz hookup. So let's just talk to Valdez.
Putting it on them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, where is he?
All you have to do is text gophers? The same guy you got for the Caps
these
tickets.
These are your gophers?
They're, like, well, they're producers. Okay. Yeah. I need to go. They offered, right? Last time we had Coach on. And I don't know. We could all do something together, but I want to go, you know. Take my fam, too.
So you want me to reach out to Jim? Is that what you're saying?
No. Just whoever it was when they called in, whoever was the media person or whatever, it said that they'll hook us up. Remember they said they'd get us some wood seats?
We'll ask Valdez.
All right.
Yeah, they'll
where
defer.
Did he go? Pooping? Is he pooping?
No, he's got to do work because it's just going to be all rewinds for 6 to 10 tomorrow. So he's got to put all that in the system.
Gotcha. They're not even dragging like Linnell out or anything?
No, I'm going to be here if Linnell attended too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Bet 365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.